Okay, just want to make sure you're at pretty much the same sound level as me. Me.
Hey, this is Craig Greenberg here on Comic Pop Library.
If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you. If you ever find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see, I'll be the light to guide you. Find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need. You can count on me like 1, 2, 3, I'll be there. And I know when I need it, I can count on you. Like 4, 3, 2, and you'll be there. 'Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah. Ooh, yeah. If you're tossing and you're turning and you just can't fall asleep, I'll sing a song beside you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Comic Pop License to Read, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Logan here.
And we are going to be looking at C. Chancey's novel, Count Taka and the Vampire Brides. And it does have a subtitle. What's the subtitle on there, Logan? You got a...
And the Vampire Brides?
No, flip it up. Open the front cover.
Oh, a comedy of epic vampire bromance.
It's a bromance! And this is one that Logan wanted to look at and have me read because he enjoyed this one. And after I read it, I found out why. But we're going to let Logan give us the deets from the book.
Okay. Travel photographer Kei Mishima loves shooting articles to cover spooky vacation getaways. But the best part of his job is getting away from his family. Grandma Mishima's crazy superstitions, his mother Miwa's life-threatening training routines, and little sister Yuri's sheepish face as he bails her out again. The worst monster he plans to face this Halloween is Tramontana's tacky vampire tourist trap. He doesn't believe in magic or curses or little flower fairies making roses bloom in mountain autumn, or werewolves, or sorcerers, or the wild hunt itself. Yuri does. His family's been lying to him. And worst of all, the dread vampire lord is kind of cute. Vampire with annoying relatives meets photographer with terrifying relatives. Chaos ensues. A comedy of vampire bromance.
And this was just a fun book all the way around. And like I said, this is written by C. Chancey. Actual name is Christelle R. Chancey. And she did this through Create Space, and it came out in 2016. So you could jump on Amazon and find it pretty easily.
Yep.
But this is just a lighthearted story.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is to it. And it has a lot of fun things that Logan and I could relate to because we are into the anime and manga and stuff like that. And she makes several references to that. The reason why is, as we looked on her bio, which isn't much of a bio on the author's page, it says, besides reading fantasy, SF, mysteries, and history, she also enjoys reading
manga.
Beating. That literally says beating, not reading. Let's start that again. Besides reading fantasy, SF, mysteries, and history, she also enjoys reading manga, anime, digging up survival information, poking odd color combinations, and maintaining an aquarium of half-wild guppies and one huge South American catfish that likes to lurk unseen for weeks. So you can kind of tell she has a little bit of sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Also a fan fiction author known as Vathara, too.
Okay. See, I was not familiar with that.
Which is how we found her, or I found her.
Okay. Yeah. So this is one that started out in fan fiction, and then she decided, hey, let's give it a shot.
Yep. This is her second book. Yep.
And it was actually pretty decent. I really liked that.
First one was good as well, but yeah, things happened, and we didn't decide to do this one. We did this one. Well, it happens.
Yeah, this was fun, so I enjoyed this one. But we have Kei Mishima, and he's a photojournalist, like Logan said, and he takes digital photos and writes a column for the Travel and High Spirits for the Light and Shadow Journeys.
Which, given that that's also one of his possibly ancestors' philosophies on magic, very high coincidence.
That is true. Basically, he goes to cheerful tourist spots by day, and then by night they turn into creepy little areas of tourism, and he tries to get the creepy side of stuff or the spiritual side of stuff so that people that are interested into the spiritual realm and stuff like that will have a fun place to go. And his next assignment is during Halloween at Tramontana. You're right. And it takes place in the town of Dunraven.
Castle Dunraven mainly, but
And, well, the town's named also that as well. We have a couple of different characters. We already mentioned Kay. We mentioned his sister, Yuri. And then there's the main other lead, which is... I just went lost. Taka. It's right in the title. Duh. Sorry, folks. But to get with Yuri, Yuri's his sister, and also his partner takes... Well,
not officially. She just tags along.
Well, basically a partner, though. She tags along everywhere he goes to keep him out of trouble, but he thinks he's keeping her out of trouble, too, which they kind of are both ways. So they're keeping each other out of trouble to a degree.
Apparently, he's at least once accidentally saved the world.
True, they have done that, and that's explained later in the books that I think New Orleans or Louisiana, somewhere in Louisiana that took place. And she can find Kay wherever he is, no matter what.
Yeah. Not sure they ever explain that, but she can do it.
They don't. It's just one of her deals.
He can also generally tell when people are lying to him, which was brought up early on, but I don't think we saw any other reference to that.
Not really. No, not really. That's true. We have Taka, of course, is the lord of the castle, or Taka Floreski.
Floreski, right?
That's how I would pronounce it. Or Count Herodas, which is the vampire lord. And that's a character he dons for the castle. Mm-hmm. But is that really him? Who knows?
He also has a sister, which was Lady Maria.
Yep. And she's kind of a straight and narrow person.
She's also an author of
romance.
Odd productivity. Because at the beginning of the book, Taka doesn't even know about it. It's just something she does in her spare time. At the end of the book, she's got a publisher, and Taka knows, do not touch her manuscripts. So, somewhat odd. But whatever.
Yeah, it's just a progression of a story. I think he probably knew more than what there was, but he just didn't say anything because she was real sensitive about writing the stories and didn't want anybody knowing about it. So he kind of kept mum. So I think that's kind of where they were trying to do that kind of deal.
He seemed surprised when that guy told him about it, but yeah. Because it was Kay that told him about the books or figured it out.
I didn't get that feel, but that's fine. That's what you got. Some of the other characters that come into being... basically, the Kay and Yuri come to the castle and meet the Taka, and he's basically the host of the castle. This is a tourist environment where people come. They stay at the castle. They are fully immersed in like a old Victorian setting where they try to bring back to life the myth of the castle being of the vampire lord. So that's where all this comes from, and Kay's there to look into it for the magazine that he works for, Light and Shadow Journals. Excuse me, Light and Shadow Journeys. So
there's also a tour weekend called Bride of the Vampire Weekend.
And I think that's what they're on, right, during this story, isn't it? During Halloween?
It's just a special that they can order.
Okay. I thought it was the Halloween deal. That's why we were talking about Bride.
No, the Bride of the Vampire Weekend is basically a tourist thing that Eurus and the other minions of Count Taka kidnapped Kay under the claims of that happened to his sister, but actually just trying to get Taka a break, basically.
True, but again, I think that was intentionally because it was Halloween. They just brought him in to bring it there.
No, that's something separate.
No, I'm saying they did it for Halloween because that's when he becomes the most binding. Did you not get that at all? I'm the ceremonies of the brides happen during Halloween because that's when the most binding.
I'm not talking about ceremonies of the bride. I'm talking about the.
It's one and the same.
No, this is a tourist trap.
No, I'm saying they say it's a tourist trap, but to me, I see it as one and the same.
Then they are doing very sketchy stuff, just signing up random gals who pay for this, then.
Well, it depends. It's a regular thing that's a tourist trap, yes. Mm-hmm. But when it becomes serious, it's also serious, and it takes place during the same time. That's how I got it. You didn't, evidently, which is fine.
Yeah, I think you're talking about two different things, but whatever.
I got them stumped, folks. Some of the people that come in, like I said, Kay got kidnapped by some of the people for this event. Eurus is one of them. Means rainbow in the local dialect. And she is kind of like a bride of Frankenstein type deal. She's kind of cut up and is a scientist. You have...
Kineta was the one that was kidnapped by the fairies because she was psychic, and then they basically semi-experimented on her. Now she's extremely strong and can walk through walls. So
okay. That's what she can do. You have Rule, who's a wolf in town. And so there's one of the, you know, there's your wolf man type trappings. Mm-hmm. You have Gabrielle. She is the cook. It says she's stunning and graceful. We already talked about Mori, his Taka's sister. We have Sita, who is 7 years old, and she is actually one of Taka's brides.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Kanata, which we mentioned. And I have here, she looks least dangerous. Is a buxom, black-haired beauty, bouncing around the kitchen and her, she's kind of warm-hearted. Mm-hmm. We have Mistral, who also has black hair that does look violent. Very suggestive and has a dress cut very nicely or seductively. Mm-hmm. So she's one of those. But the bride thing, this is the whole thing for the whole book. And basically, it's one of those where the bride does not necessarily say it's marriage.
Not marriage, no. It's more, they become spiritual focuses, basically, magic focus.
For Taka.
Yep.
And this is because he is an actual vampire. Or part vampire.
Yeah, and the specific breed is why you can do this, because normal vampires apparently just ravening, blood-sucking ghouls, basically.
Right, and he is half fey? Is that what it is?
Or? Kitsune.
Kitsune, yeah, there we go. My bad. So there's why he, and his sister is a half-sister, actually.
Yeah, and it's water spirit of some type, I'm pretty sure.
Right. That's her father, correct?
No, that's her mother. The father is the vampire.
Is?
Yeah. The father is the same between the two.
That's okay. I thought the mother was the same. Yeah. Okay. So they're kind of, they're half-brother and half-sister. But the whole thing revolves around Kay and Yuri's family are...
Hunters
of spiritual beings or monsters and stuff that go bump in the night. So they are looking for these things. And Kay is unintentionally leading them to these creatures because he has a basically undeveloped power.
He basically cuts to the truth of things, and he's looking for supernatural stuff for his magazine. So he's going to find supernatural stuff.
Right, so part of his, he can tell if somebody's lying, he can, like Logan said, he can see the truth. So if something, Sita is out in the garden, he's talking about she looks like a garden fairy.
Yeah.
She actually is. Duh, that's why.
And once she awakens his sight, that gets even better.
So, and basically that's what happens. Sita awakens his sight, and he has to come to grips with his power. And we come to find out that Dunraven is a town where the castle, like Logan said, is the main structure. Then they have the town down below. But they've all come together, humans and spirits, monsters, if you want to call them monsters, because they have something different about them. And this is a safe haven. Because Taka is basically in charge of everything, and he's decided anybody that has any type of difference that's special and that power, they can come there, whether a human or a creature.
You just don't kill.
Right, don't kill.
Well, anybody who's randomly in that one forest after dark, it's fair game, though. Other than that, no.
True. And we have the Fae
Which
that are in that part of the world that want to take back over that area of Takas.
Actually, they're trying to get it from... now I can't remember that Seda and her cousin, they're technically the owner-ish type of a section of land in the fairy realms.
Right. That's the and swamp. That's her brother.
They want them dead so that they can claim that area.
But right now it's Takas.
Yep.
He's in charge of that area.
The marriage thing.
So he's the one that's the protector. And the fun part for this and me and where the anime kind of comes in, you have the Japanese references quite a bit because of the name of people. But Yuri, Kay's sister, is infatuated with hentai. And if nobody knows what hentai is in our listening audience, let us tell you. It's kind of like the X-rated market of the American culture. This is the X-rated market for Japanese anime.
Yep.
And a lot of it deals with tentacle porn.
So, that's her favorite, apparently.
Yes, that is her favorite. And then come to find out, she falls in love with a swamp creature that has tentacles.
Described as tentacle bishi.
So there you go, folks. If you're into the culture and know what's going on, you can't help but laugh because it's just like, oh my gosh, this is just too hilarious. Now, one of the things I did have trouble with this book, and that is two of the characters' names, because they were so close, and that's Yuri, his sister, and Eurys, one of the brides.
True.
Sometimes that they were kind of hard to say, especially if they were in the same scene together. And then it kind of got a little fun. And I almost wish it was a little bit bigger, because they didn't really get into Yuri's relationship with Seda's brother, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head. See if I can find it here.
Creoso.
There you go. Thank you. So I would have liked to see them go into that relationship a little bit more. Not the X-rated portion of it, but just them interacting and how, you know, how they came to be, you know, it was almost love at first sight type of story.
Love at first rescue.
Yeah, there you go.
First Kay and then Yuri finished off rescuing that guy from the, can't remember what they call that monster, and drowning.
Oh, I can't remember now. It's too many pages back.
Yeah.
But we have the Fae that's part of the problem, and we have Kay and Yuri's family that's part of the problem. Because they also come to Dunhaven and are trying to attack and kill everybody. So they're trying to bring peace between everybody. And they eventually do get it all done. Yeah. How they do it, it's all right. It fits. I enjoyed it. But this book was not about the ending for me. It was about the journey to the end, because it was so fun.
So I think the making peace with the family was a bit quick. But
yeah, it was. Yeah.
Even if they got a more reasonable one of the guys in charge.
True.
Yeah, still a bit quick. But it happened.
And they leave Taka and Kay's relationship kind of ambiguous.
Yeah.
It could be a friendship.
A lot of ship teasing, but yeah, it could be.
Yeah, a lot of shipping type stuff going on. You could say that they got together in a romantic sense, or you could say they did not.
Yeah,
they never did anything in the book. And then the castle itself, during one of the scenes, when probably about the middle-ish of the book, I think.
Early at least, but...
Yeah.
Because this was before Yuri knew that he knew about stuff, so...
Well, the castle pretty much took him and transported him to Minstrel's room. Is that her name?
No. Mistral's a different one. It's Maria. Oh,
Maria, there you go. Thank you. So the castle, he was, I can't remember even what place he was at, but the castle can warp reality within itself and...
Yeah, create passages to wherever. Right.
Like Harry Potter, almost, in a sense. Yeah. Not quite, but more elaborate than Harry Potter, I guess, because,
more secret passage instead of staircase. So it tries to keep it out of sight, at least.
And the castle dumps Kay in
Maury's bedroom.
Bedroom. So, in a sense, what I got out of that is everybody, the castle wants them to get together.
Yeah, everybody else might be shipping Kay and Taka, but castle's thinking Kay and Maury.
Right.
And there was at least a slight scene where Kay and Eurys had a bit of not quite romance thing going on.
Kay and Eurys?
Yeah, Frankenstein's daughter. One scene, but it was there. So
okay, I must have missed that one. But that's, like I said, it's been too many pages ago. Because she was a flirtatious one anyway.
True.
So I can see definitely that that happened for sure. Because she was definitely one that, and she brought out the, or Kay and her had that scene where he was like, you know, because even though she has stitches, he's like, I want to take your photograph because you're beautiful the way you are.
I'm pretty sure that's the same one.
Okay. I wasn't sure if we were on the same page or not.
Cut the next scene, and apparently they also talked about what Taka likes to eat and stuff. So,
true. Let me see what else I have here. Within this story, I guess she could develop a whole range of stuff, but it says demons. Let's see here. Alpha predators have to coexist with humans. Demons, angels, the powers of the altered dark. They have their dimensions they can go to when they get tired of humans. Earthbound monsters have to compromise or die.
Yeah.
And I wrote that down from the book because I thought that was interesting. She does deal with demons and angels and all that stuff. They can get away, but the vampires, the werewolves, the fae, well, they're stuck here.
I think fae's almost...
close.
They do have an area to retreat, but they interact with humans at least.
But not like the angels and demons and stuff like that. They have to compromise and live with the humans. You know, they do live underground and in their the hills, Fey Hills and stuff like that. Yes, I agree with you there. That is true. So they have to compromise or they could die. So that was an interesting thing. This is one where I think... basically, this is, to me, almost a paranormal and almost a harem anime, if you went that kind direction. Because
there was also, can't remember which one, but one of the people that mentioned that Kree also was too young for threesomes, so...
Yeah, true.
Even if they do set K up with one or another specific person, nothing to say there won't be others, too.
True. This one could be a standalone novel.
Yeah.
Or if she wanted to write a second book, I could see a possibility of the second book to kind of dive into the castle, wanting Kay and Mori. Did I get that right?
Yeah, pretty much.
To be together. And the little dynamics between those two and Taka and this pull and tug of who's going to go where, or somebody going to be jealous, stuff like that. Because they kind of left Mori kind of just dangling. Because they kind of show her as a little bit insecure, but she wants to have love. They kind of introduce that thought with the castle and Kay, and then they just kind of let it be. They don't go back to it.
Yeah.
So maybe there might be a second one. Who knows?
Yep. Or it could just be plain slice of life if there's the second one. But
true. Or it could just be all by itself.
Yep.
But I enjoyed it. I had fun with it. And if you're into the anime, stuff like that, I think you'll definitely love this one as well. One of the things that where they got the... Do we want to mention the author's note about the diplomatic mission?
If you wish. The bit about his ancestor. Apparently his... Yeah. Well, actually, no. His ancestor was the sorcerer, wasn't it? But there was... Also, that diplomatic mission. Apparently, Japanese... where is the... Basically, the last page. There's apparently a Japanese embassy that was a mission... Diplomatic mission led by Hasakura Tsunenaga to the Vatican in Rome and back in the 1600s. And there's been... descendants of those found in all sorts of places, including both Mexico and Spain. So apparently they crossed more than one ocean.
So true. So this kind of leads credence to why Taka as a vampire with an Asian history would be in the Turkish area.
Yeah.
So that was kind of... So she tried to base it off of historical references to make it make sense. So, and I appreciate that. And... Kay gets into some of his ancestry, too, which I think we might want to leave a little bit for the readers to find out. But definitely he gained... How do we want to say this? He has more powers than what people think he might.
Yep.
So you'll have to read the book to see what other things might be happening with Kay. And then what also ultimately happens with the bromance. But definitely this is one I'd recommend to a lot of people. It was just fun. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else you want to go over, Logan?
I don't think so.
All right, we're going to jump into our tweets that people have been sending us. You can also get in touch with Comic Pop Library through our email at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. We have a Facebook account as well as a Twitter account. Look up Comic Pop Library. You'll find us there. Tweet us, Facebook, you know, send us something through Facebook, email. When we receive it, we'll read it on the air as a thank you. This go around, we have Shahzad Benhay. He got a hold of us through Twitter. He's a rock instrumentalist that we've kind of done a few things for. And he just wanted to send out, you know, let everybody know that check out the cool review that we did, and wanted to say thank you to our team for our support of him. And we want to say to Shahzad Benhay, we appreciate you sending us your music to take a look at. We've really enjoyed it. And then a few months ago, we've had DC and Michael McGannon on. And of course, they are probably better at Twitter than we are, but...
Yeah, probably.
True. But they tweeted out there that they visited with us and had a fun time. And we definitely always have a fun time with them as well. So that was kind of fun and cool for them to tweet out there that we had done that for them. To get back to Count Taka and the Vampire Brides, this is one that's written where I think a high schooler could read it.
Yeah.
I think it would be for older high schooler.
Yeah.
Junior or senior. If you got much younger, you probably have some people questioning it, especially when you have hentai and tentacle sex and stuff like that in it. So, hey, but nothing's ever shown. No sex is ever done. It's fair. It's, you know, it's just referenced. So don't think there's anything, you know, sexy time going on in this book, because it's not. It's just trying to make references to some of the Japanese culture and the anime that's over there.
And also... In phase, contracts have to be obliged. Wedding nights are apparently considered part of that specific contract. So, yeah.
True.
Given well, that
is true.
The ending was the aftermath of a wedding, yep, there was sex sometime around there.
True, but it was never on the page. Seen, but never seen, never read. So, hey, who knows? You make up your own scene. There you go. But no, this was kind of fun. I enjoyed it, had fun with it galore. If you have individuals that are in your library that enjoy the Japanese anime or manga, this would be one that they would definitely gravitate towards and enjoy if they were told about it. Readers in general, I think if they just like lighthearted romances, this is kind of a fun one. It's lighthearted for sure. There are some serious moments, but for the most part, even the serious moments are kind of lighthearted in a sense.
A fair amount. So. Some of them are more serious, but most of them are lighthearted. Yeah.
True. So if a school library wants to pick this up, kind of be a little careful about that. You might want to read it first, or at least get some reviews to back it up. Library in general, you know, smaller library, if you don't have the patrons that are interested in this type of book with the anime and the mangas, it might not be something that you might want to pick up. If you do have those type of patrons that come in and are interested, definitely pick it up. It's a fun book. The other libraries, medium and large, this is just a fun book to slide into your sci-fi area, because that's where we happen to put it in our library. And Logan brought it to my attention, which I'm glad he did, because I had a lot of fun with it, so thank you.
The other one she's written is called A Net of Dawn and Bones, by the way.
And it's a lot thinner.
Yeah.
But it's a more of a fantasy one, probably?
Yeah. Okay. It's more, there's a lot about the demons and a bit about the angels, too, on that one.
Okay. Oh, I see. So maybe it's tied together loosely? Or is it a different world entirely? It's
probably a different world.
Different world, okay.
Or it's in the future, because...
modern day.
Yeah.
Okay.
That one, everybody already knows generally about the supernatural stuff.
Okay. Cool. So... There is another book out there that you can go pick up of hers and check out and read. But definitely, like I said, recommend Count Taka and the Vampire Brides. That's going to do it for us this time. We've been having fun visiting about Sea Chances and her book. We hope you have been having fun listening to his gab.
Mm-hmm.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.